Mobile.
You're already down the mountain.
Get ready to pass Ken's house.
KSW Mobile. Ken, KO4CEF.
I'm into wondering if he's going to sleep in today, KO4.
I'm running at least a good 30 seconds late. Full 30 seconds. Doing today.
Light him up for that.
Probably that. I'm good this morning, Ken. Thank God it's Thursday, but, man, I went to bed last night wishing it was Friday so I could be done.
That's my red light.
Yes, I did.
Not big enough to be yours, but there's another one in front of you.
Truck or the concrete truck?
Big truck. I thought it was another panel truck like yours.
Man trucks. I've been following it down 290.
Lights work.
Try to keep it in working order.
I bet you this morning.
Lights work when he goes to turn into the QT.
Stop this morning.
Early.
Give me a nap.
Yeah, brake lights work.
I filed my taxes this weekend, yo.
The bank this week already.
Planning to get mine done.
Just, you know, the IRS is trying to figure out if they can get more money by taxing the tax rebates for the states. And since we got the $800 from South Carolina, I guess they wanted to tax it too. So I still haven't quite figured out whether it's taxable, but apparently there's some rules or something. So I don't know. I'm just go file it and see what happens, I guess.
Just don't wait till everybody's got it done and then come in and tell you, oh no, you did that wrong.
I almost thought about going to somebody, but man, I don't do anything but file standard, and then you know, if I move any little bit of money around in my TD Ameritrade account, which is not very common, I have to claim all that or any losses or gains, but you know, I don't really have much in it to make much difference, but still file it. But that's all I do with my tax. So I hate to pay somebody extra money for all that.
Somebody do it that way. If it's screwed up, it's on them.
Ken, with everything I got going on, that way if there's a problem, the IRS can go visit her.
Only plus side, I always just usually do TurboTax, since mine's pretty simple and straightforward. Tell me people are complaining because they're not getting as much. Like, where did you think that money was coming from? They kept mailing those checks out.
Refund, right?
Those people that got that extra money for children all through the year, and now they're not going to get that, and they were counting on it on their tax returns.
No such thing as free money.
There's usually a big bump in business right around this time of year because of tax returns, and we shall see if it happens this year.
That money like crazy last month.
I've known for so long that the discretionary spending has went down. I don't get on Amazon as much as I used to. You know, even going so far, like, I did a spreadsheet for me and the wife to keep track of everything, and, you know, it sucks to do it, but you got to do it right now.
And the news report this morning about how spending has declined or flattened, and demand for fuel is way down, so... Who knows which way it's going to go, but it doesn't look like it's going to go good. Let's put it that way.
For just groceries, it's going to go up 10%.
Another 10%, but it wouldn't surprise me in all honesty.
Wouldn't surprise me on groceries either. It's a minimum of 10%. But I stopped yesterday. I had to buy some DEF, diesel exhaust fluid, and I'd like to have had a heart attack. It was 20 $7.81 for a 2.5 gallon jug, which before all this started, he was buying for like $10.
Right.
So do, on average, probably one of those a week.
I'm glad my truck doesn't have one of those.
This one didn't, but tool truck's the only one I got that has it, so. It's just, I mean, you think about how much that's adding to your regular bill. I'm already spending $300+ a week in fuel. Well, there's 10% of that, basically, for that one item that I have to do every week also.
Finally coming down, but I just don't know if it's temporary or not.
KN4 TFW, yeah, it was 388 yesterday over there where I get off.
What was it? 384 yesterday over at the Walmart in Berea.
Times the Honda, the used Honda lot selling campers.
This really does come true. There'll be plenty to sell here for long because the lots will be full.
I had to stop producing the F-150.
I didn't see what for, but I seen a blurb about it.
A ton of details, but had something to do with the battery pack. And they're still not sure of the root cause, but it has potential to make it to the customer. So they have shut down, basically stopped shipping F-150s until they figure out what's going on with it and how to fix it.
An article, I think it was earlier this week or might end of last week, about Ford's financial trouble because of everything going on, all the crappy quality they've been putting out lately. And I'm glad I'm not working there and having to deal with it anymore. I know that.
I hadn't heard much more about the F-150 Lightning as far as the towing capacity and everything else, you know, because they were talking about how abysmal it was and how bad it dropped when you towed anything, but I don't know, maybe people were still buying them.
Patrick couldn't make it from his house to Greenville on a charge, pulling something.
150 had a horrible towing with anything, even a small trailer hooked to an empty trailer. Towing capacity was dropped way down.
My car, as the fuel goes down, my gas mileage goes up.
Tow anything besides take your gas, your trash or something to the landfill. It won't be good for anything else.
I double with you to begin.
We're just buying it basically just to have a truck to be able to say it's an EV.
Don't see the benefit in it if you're actually going to use it. If you're just using it as a commuter, okay. As long as it's, you know, kind of like what Eric and the other guy's name just left me, where they're just commuting back and forth, that's about all that's good for.
I need to drive back and forth to work. I'm not seeing it. You know, at least the little Chevy Volts or whatever they're called, they're not that expensive. I couldn't imagine just spending $80,000 to $100,000 on a truck just to drive it back and forth to work.
The Chevy Volt, the smaller ones where they're just designed for commuters is what I'm saying. You can kind of get behind that. You can understand it. And it's Ernie. I remembered his name now. I was drawing a blank. But, I mean, as far as the pickup truck line, I just don't see the benefit in it. And then they're trying to do the big trucks, like mine, delivery trucks. There's no way I could get through the day.
That up yet. I don't know. Although I will say, I'll have to give Dodge credit. Because their Ram 1500 EV commercial during the Super Bowl was probably the best commercial I saw the whole time I was watching the Super Bowl.
You have to forgive me. I didn't watch it. Don't know nothing about it.
Yep, same here.
I would recommend, like, trying to look it up on YouTube. Because it's almost like, trying to say this over the radio, so male ED, they basically described electrification something. I don't remember what the word was, but they basically used it almost interchangeably, like, you know, not being able to get your load up or something. You know, all these terms that you would use for one thing were used for the F-150. It was pretty hilarious when you watch the commercial.
See if I can't find that here in a minute. See how that goes.
Thing on the TV the other day where they had the battery-powered UPS tractor trailer.
Where they're doing short runs and dedicated runs where they know the distance and they know what to expect, they may be able to make that work. So that's where I see EV being a potential for, you know, working out good.
Up with the traffic over in my area yesterday, it was unbelievable.
Hey, you mentioned, or has it been more than multiple days? KO4CEF.
KN4TFW. Well, I mean, you know, Valentine's, it was really backed up, and then yesterday it was backed up from that Taylor's Road all the way, you know, up past the red light, and then so I went down 101 and cut across, and then it was backed up all the way past the front of my house and all the way down the side road. It was like there was something happened on Wade Hampton or whatever, and all the traffic was diverted.
N4ZLK.
I got your text message. I'm watching it now. KO4HKX.
Good morning, Shane. KN4GFW.
KO4CEF. Yeah, I don't. Ain't no telly, Ken. I mean, that's in Greenville, Greer area. That's why I try to avoid it anyway. But there ain't no telling what happened. People just too many distractions.
Got it. KF4NXY.
Morning, David.
KO4HK.
KO4CEF.
You sitting here drinking my coffee? Yeah, I'll go ahead and carry on with them. Enjoying the conversation. KF4NXY.
Two. And Ken, I heard you talk about that battery-operated tractor. They've got one, a shifter tractor, battery-operated down in Atlanta at the big Smart Hub. And I have never seen it move. It's been sitting in the same place since I started going down there. So maybe they pull it out when the cameras are around.
The article, they were, you know, driving it down the road and everything, but I don't think he was pulling much weight. I think actually, the trailer he was pulling was empty at the time.
Building that semi-truck, I've seen pictures, but I hadn't heard any more about it, except little blips here and there.
Okay, let me see if I got this. It's a video on, it wasn't Tesla, but I can't remember which EV manufacturer it was for semis, and the self-driving, they were trying to do it all at the same time, and as soon as they pulled onto the interstate and turned the self-driving on, it wiped out several vehicles and into the center median wall. So that scratched that one.
I know that if it ever comes in, especially the self-driving ones, when I'm still there, that's about the time I'm going to retire, I believe.
You need a driver or a rider for it, right?
That'll be me. Or is that okay?
Liner. It was in the scouts with us, and he was saying that they were looking into the ability to have a convoy system. So you'd have one main driver in the front truck, and then there would be multiple trucks behind it as a convoy that would follow that one truck, but they would not have drivers. So I don't know if that's ever going to go anywhere. I mean, it's just kind of scary.
On the article, there's one out west that makes a run for, I think, one of the beer companies. But it does fine on the interstate, but you need somebody to get it on and off the interstate.
All these convoy wrecks instead of train derailments, KO4HKX.
Have to have just one dedicated lane because it's hard enough sometimes to change lanes the way people drive in and out, trying to pass everybody. There's no way that you could change lanes with a whole convoy.
I got a head for the fruit truck. Should be the last. Yeah, have a good day. 7-3, and hopefully I'll holler at you when I get off work or tomorrow morning. KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on y'all's final.
You and somebody double KO4HVX.
7-3, Andrew, KN4TFW.
Hope you have a good day. N4ZLK. And I'm going to jump off, too. I'm headed up your way, Patrick. Going to have breakfast with my son and daughter-in-law's. Excuse me. Daughter and son-in-law. Better get that right. It's her birthday today. I'm going to go have breakfast with them. Y'all have a good day. I'll be back on in a little bit. N4ZLK.
Shane, tell us how you really feel about it. KO4HGX.
7-3, Shane. Have a awesome day. KN4TFW.
I hope he's not listening, Patrick. He'll rub that out. Well, I hope she's not listening. That's what I mean. Y'all have a good day. N4ZLK.
It's just me and you.
Me that doubled with Andrew, I was saying that the through lane for tractor trailers should be the left lane. You know what I mean? No cars in the left lane.
There goes that commuter lane. In those big cities. So much for that thing. Nobody uses it anyway.
Be paying extra to use it, that's for sure.
Not paying extra to use it. It ain't worth all that.
My tax statements came due for my truck and car tags. And then the sticker fee and that, or the decal fee was like twice as much on my car as it was on my truck. Do you reckon it has to do because it's a hybrid?
Because you're not paying as much in tax for the fuel, so you're getting penalized now for it.
Caught up in all that Greer traffic today.
Well, but it's Thursday, so, and it's fire week, so I'll cut off on 14 and I'll make my way back around that way instead of coming out 290.
Heads are off. I've been trying to find me some new ways. It's like, man, it's just terrible.
They're on Wade Hampton from about 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock is just bumper to bumper.
You know, when I pulled up the map on Valentine's, it showed all the traffic. When I pulled it up yesterday, it didn't show any traffic, even though it was bumper to bumper everywhere.
Google doing that, and it's like they're lagging behind some, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and that 15, 20 minutes, you're already caught up in it. I sent you a link to the video that Andrew was talking about, just so you know.
I'll have to check it out because we did. I mean, I watched like the first possessions of the game, and that was about it. We turned in.
The eavesdropping, and he sent it to me before he keyed up. So I took a second there and watched it.
As my fuel tank gets empty, my gas mileage goes up on this thing.
Done the math and calculated the fuel mileage yourself, or are you just relying on the instrumentation?
A year and a half, I always calculated it myself, and the car calculates it about a mile per gallon less than what it really is.
I was wondering if they were over exaggerating like they tend to do.
And under, for the most part, I haven't seen it go over.
Remember which manufacturer it was? It's been several years now. Got caught with the odometer on all their cars reading about a mile and a half. When you traveled a mile, when you traveled a mile, it was saying you traveled a mile and a half so they could get the mileage up on the vehicles and get out of warranty quicker and say their vehicles were lasting longer.
I watched the mileage pretty close because the screen that I have it on is the one that, you know, shows you the average and that. But it, there for a few weeks, man, the mileage was just terrible. I mean, but I figure it has to be the blend of fuel.
Difference in the winter blend and summer blend of fuels, the additives they put in it. and then the cool, dense air, you get more air in, so you take more fuel in. So usually in the wintertime, your fuel mileage drops just because of that.
A good 10% just about on mine. I know, you know, like right now, I'm at, it says 53.7. But, you know, here,
to see that quite a bit, customers coming in complaining about it around this time of year. You can solve your traffic problem out here on Wade Hampton. You're just going to have to work longer, KO4HKX. You're just going to have to stay later. That way you come in after they do.
Yeah, I heard that, but they got us, cut back on the overtime.
Good company, man, and just do it for free.
Do a good bit for free. I mean, I get there, a little bit after 6, and I don't leave till 4, and I just only charge them 8.5.
I was just trying to offer a solution on how to solve that problem.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I could turn right there at the Jeep place, but I don't know if the traffic is bad. But then if I get, you know, once I get to John's, then I can tell that the traffic is all backed up. You know what I mean? Then I hang a right at Applebee's, and it takes me right back out to the road there that it would have turned out at the Jeep place. And then I just go back the back way back over to the house.
I know where you're going. I've done that too. And but like you say, you don't know until you crest that hill, because that's where traffic really starts backing up.
And so then when I see it, then I just go ahead and turn there at Applebee's. And that, but here lately, it's just been, I mean, it's been backed up on 290 from the 290-101 split all the way up to the red light.
To that, I know what you're talking about. But that little road there next to John's, just past John's when you crest the hill, if you'll cut down it and go to the end of it and take a right, that'll bring you right back out on that road that you're talking about.
Yeah, I just saw that Tryon Street, the one right there before the Applebee's, it goes straight over to that Memorial Drive.
I used the one I was just telling you about. I don't know the name of it. Pretty much every week when I come out of John's, I circle back around and go up to the body shop, or I come from the body shop down to John's instead of getting back out on Wade Hampton.
There, it just got stupid ridiculous.
It's definitely gotten bad right through there. But, I mean, it's always been bad since I've been doing this, but it seems like lately it's just been a little worse.
Cut up that cut through there by, you know, right there at that Josie's restaurant, and then it backs up in front of my house. But I don't know what they're trying to cut through. You know what I mean? If I was going to do that, I would, you know, bear left and not go up by my house, and then I would just go ahead and or take St. Mark's over there and be better off.
Or just dumps you out in a traffic jam, and then they block up the intersection there where nobody can go, because they don't know that, you know, you're not supposed to pull out unless you have room to get into the road. So they cause a problem there. But yeah, if they take that left past Josie's there and come out at the red light, that's probably the best place to get in.
You think it was yesterday, it was backed up, you know, that little split there after Josie's. I mean, it was backed up as far as I could see from the little four-way stop there at the house.
It usually backs up pretty bad right through there when I'm coming in. I just sit in and take my time. That's all I can do. Either that or go around 101 and come around all that, and it just, for me, it's not worth it in this truck. If I was in something else, maybe, but I just sit there and watch the show, let's put it that way.
KN4TFW.
Try to make sure the show doesn't rub off on me.
We got him. you know, you got that daycare there, and people, and then you got that side street, and people are trying to come out of the side street and cutting in front of you and hoping they miss the other cars coming down. It's, yeah, it's stupid.
For some reason, you get people up there at the red light trying to make a left.
Yes, I mean, because there used to be a little side road that went down before the daycare, and they blocked it all off, and then you had to go to the light, and they wouldn't put in a turn lane, so I make sure I'm all the way to the right so that all the cars behind me have to stop.
Don't worry, if I come up through there, I'm not getting up against the block wall to get in by you.
I'd about take off the front end of the other car in front of them. I've been trying to take a left, and then the car coming towards me trying to take a left, and I go to turn in front of him, and somebody comes around him, you know, beside the guardrail, and that, and almost ran into me.
Well, they've been out there doing surveying on 290 during the day, so maybe they're getting ready to do something with that up through there. They figured out something to widen it out, because I don't know how they're going to do it without taking the water tower or the church. Is going to have to give up something.
That's some grave spots, isn't it?
The water tower and the church parking lot is there too, so I don't know what. They're going to have to move the church parking lot. I guess that's why they tore that building down over there at the church. That, and it was just getting old and too old to renovate.
Killing, and to make traffic that much worse. But I'm pulling in the parking spot. I know you're sitting there waiting for the people to show up. So I'm going to say 7-3. Hope you have an awesome day and stay out of the traffic jams. And maybe I can catch you tonight. KN4 TFW.
Great day at work. Good to talk to you this morning. And good luck this afternoon. If I don't talk to you again, KO4HKX. I'll be quick. 7-3.
7-3, Ken. N4ZL, K-Mobile.
7-3, Zane. Have an awesome day.
K4JCA. Good morning, Mr. Patrick. And good morning, Mr. Shane.
Patrick, good to hear you. And Shane, good to hear you again. And good morning, Beth, if you're in the truck with him.
Good to hear you. Good morning, you and Miss Sally. And I know Beth had to... I was just going to have breakfast with Connor. And then he said, well, since it is her birthday, why doesn't she come along too? And I was like, oh, yeah. Maybe I should ask her to go to breakfast. But we had this plan for a while. So, good morning, Richard. Go ahead.
I was a double with you. I know you're here. I know Patrick's here. Was there another station in there? No. All right. So, Shane, you said you were on your way to breakfast now?
Went up to Fletcher to meet my daughter and son-in-law. There you go, Patrick. I said it correctly that time.
It's early. But make sure she don't hear that.
I used to live up there in Fletcher. He used to work for, I think there was a company called Eaton. I think that's what the name of it was. But he's retired from that company and living out west now.
They moved down this way in March. They've been at where they are now for a couple of years. And they're wanting to get out of North Carolina. It's a little more expensive up there and getting closer to family, but still they're going to move into near Traveler's Rest because he still works up for a company up there right in Flat Rock, East Flat Rock. So still got ties there. But anyway, headed up there to have some breakfast. I hope it's good because I like breakfast.
For breakfast up there, Shane.
Whatever that you're off or whatever. Maybe we can, I can encourage Sally to get up early enough, and maybe you and Beth and Patrick and his spouse, we can all get together and have a breakfast one morning at some place.
I'd look forward to that. Maybe we need to work that out sometime. And Patrick, I can't remember what the name of it is. I've got it on my phone. I know where it is. It's off 64 there. Looks like some kind of pancake house. So it said something and pancake house. You might be familiar with it.
Oh, can't think of that one right off, unless it's Fireside Pancake House.
Costa's Fireside and Restaurant and Pancake House.
This is kitchen up there on 25. just before you get into Fletcher?
This is Sugarloaf Parkway, or Sugarloaf Road. It's right down 64, back cave, you know, where you go to Back Cave, take a right, and then another right, and it's right in there.
Side. It's a rock building. It looks like a whole house until you get inside, and then it's an actual restaurant.
My first time there. I'm looking forward to it. Mostly looking forward to seeing my daughter and Connor as well. Go ahead, Richard, N4ZLK.
Is this Gabby that you're going up to see, or is he another daughter?
And by the way, Patrick, she had some good news yesterday at the doctor's office, so wasn't what they were thinking. It looks like it's just some leftover from the surgery. So something with the rib cage expanding too much from the surgery and pulling away, so causing some pain and tenderness. So if that's it, if that's the case, then everything's good. But yeah, Richard, it's Gabby.
I hadn't talked to you in a while, but I know I was in and out of the hospital and so forth, but she's doing good. That's great.
Good to hear. Glad to that. And gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and just step to the side here and listen for a little bit so I can get everything opened up before these guys get here. But Richard, Shane, good to hear you both this morning. And Miss Sally, hello. And talk to y'all later on today. KO4HKX. I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
I hope you have a good day, and hope it goes well. Be careful out there and all that traffic. And sell lots of tools. N4ZLK. Go ahead, Richard.
Patrick, and yeah, get up with me. If you're not doing anything this weekend, we can finish up that the changes to that PowerPoint since it's now in March, so we can get that finalized and so forth. So just give me a call when you get time. KA3JC, clear with him. And yep, Shane, so it's, at least it's a nice day. I mean, it's not raining yet. They're calling for, I was just watching the news, they're calling for heavy rain tonight.
I don't like to hear that. It's always fun getting out and swapping trailers, hooking up trailers in a heavy rain.
She said it wants, they're going to start it. It's about 9 o'clock, I think, is when it's supposed to start.
The weather, I always look at it before I go in, decide what I'm going to wear, and I'm taking a rain jacket or a hat or something. So, and I look at the radar to see where it's going to be, if maybe I can avoid it as I'm going down the road. Almost the worst part, though, is driving in all the traffic. People, they just don't seem to slow down when it rains. They think they can drive like normal.
You, people just go speeding there, and they don't realize that on some roads where the pavement hasn't, especially on the highways, they started adding that extra layer of asphalt that I guess is, it's compact enough, but loosely packed so that the water goes through the first layer down to the next layer and then drains off to the sides of the road. But still, you still get hydrants. You can only just, you know, get rid of the water just so fast. But I've gone on trips in the past where I've seen people just hit water and then they just start spinning and sliding.
Don't check the tires. They're worn down and they don't even know it. Because if they didn't get a warning light telling them, on the dash telling them something's wrong, they don't, some people don't even know anymore to check those kind of things. I don't understand it, but it happens.
True that is. I actually saw something I didn't know they did, or still do, or whatever, but I fly in here during the day. I watch a lot of these informational shows and other stuff like that, and I watched them take tires and take tires and fix the rims and so forth like that, and then after everything was fixed and they're putting the tires back on, and they would actually they have a machine that adds some additional grooving depth without having to go so depth based on how old the tire is, but you could put more grooves back in the tire.
Why is that? I thought, you know, the tire manufacturers would make them you know, within a safety limit, they'd have a certain depth they'd go, and then they'd build the tire around that. I didn't realize you could go further. I guess they err on the center, so maybe they can add like that. But no, I'd never seen that before.
Yeah, the normal tire, that the depth that comes from the manufacturer, and then of course as the road wears the tire down and stuff like that, you lose some of the grooves. But yeah, it had a little machine. It was like an electric heat gun that was shaped kind of like a little V, and the guy would take it and mark it with the ruler on the tire and put all the lines on it, and then he would just follow his lines, and it's got a set depth, and it cuts it down probably, I'm going to say it looked like an eighth of an inch, but it didn't show much more than that, you know, as far as measurements on the tools. It just how he marked the tire up and took this little gun. It was like a regular rubberized heat gun. It just, when he ran it across, it pulled out little strips of rubber out.
Interesting. I think I would rather just go buy a new set of tires. But it must be all right if, you know, if they've got something like that. I don't know if I would do it. But anyway, that's pretty cool.
But now, but something recalls was back in the 80s, you know, you could buy retreaded tires. So I'm maybe wondering if that's what they did to the tire, added some additional tread to it, and glued it and sealed it and so forth. I'm not sure. But now that you mention that, yeah, I would be concerned about that.
What they call recap, they put new layers of rubber over older tires. I'm not sure exactly the process. I'm sure it's put it on a machine and got the big strip of rubber that's already grooved, already treaded, and they just wrap, glue it or seal it somehow, because I know we use a lot of those on the trailer tires. They're not supposed to be used, or at least they didn't used to be supposed to be used on the steer tires on the front. I've heard rumors that they've even talked about changing the law on that, but I don't know if they have or not. But they can use them on the trailer tires, I know.
JCA with this four, is that okay? Yeah, something interesting else that during one of those shows in the last week or so was they had two bike tires, like a motorcycle dirt bike type style. And the guy was like, it looked like he was getting ready to repair the tire or fill a hole because it showed him pull something out. Well, then he took this tire and put a marble in the tire and kept it upright, and he drew a line on the inside of the tire. Then he went through every half an inch or every inch, and he started putting in a self-tapping, like, sheet metal screw on the center of the tire all the way around. It was evenly spaced based on the diameter of the tire, and he worked his way out to the edge, and then he turned around and coated the top heads with duct tape, and on the outside there was a washer and a bolt that he tightened down on the tire. And then what he did is, before he put the tire back on the rim, he took a section of fire hose and cut it to the length, and then cut it in half and put that inside the tire, and then he put it back on the rim and filled it up. Turns out he put it on dirt bike, and he had studded tires for a dirt bike, and then they were using those to race across, like, the ice.
Interesting. I could see that. Now, did you say he coated the outside, or the heads of the bolts or nuts? Yeah, bolts. Did he coat it with something or just leave them bare?
Of the bolts on the inside that were either next to an, I don't know if he put an inflatable tube in or not, but basically once he had the bolts, those threaded sheet metal screws go through, he put a screw in, and on the outside he put a flat washer and a nut, and it was squeezed down against the tire. The inside was covered with duct tape and then fire hose. The outside was just the tire, the washer, the nut that was up snug against the washer, and then about a half an inch of the screw with the sheet metal screw that's sticking out. It's kind of interesting.
I was picturing him putting them in the other way, from the outside going in. But the point of the screw is facing out on the tire. I got that. I didn't hear you say a nut and a washer. Somehow I missed that. Well, whatever. I mean, I hate for him to run over somebody's foot with that, but I can see how it would hold on the ice.
To him transporting his vehicle on a trailer, this bike on a trailer, and I couldn't figure out, like, you see him put these screws or these studs or whatever you want to call them through the tire and then put it on the bike tire and then mount it to the motorcycle. But then you see him driving down the road, you know, with the bike strapped on the trailer, and then you hear it start revving up, and then the next scene it shows the bike sitting on an ice like it's getting ready to do a quarter mile run, kind of like a little small drag strip.
Testing, I guess, whatever terrain you've got available to you, you're going to adapt your vehicle to it. So there's some places where you can drive on that ice for a good bit of the year. If it's a frozen lake or a frozen pond, if that's what he was on.
Another episode, they had the same thing or something similar about the frozen ice in the lake and so forth. How you get people out there ice fishing and then drinking and start driving their trucks and doing donuts on the ice and stuff like that and getting away from where they're supposed to be. Excuse me. And their truck falling through the ice. And then, you know, they tell them, you know, that it's a good safety practice to keep your windows down when you fall through the ice. You get out of the ice and the water and you have to wait until it freezes over again. And they have a specialty crew that goes in there and cuts like two triangles in the ice near where the truck was. The divers go down and inspect the vehicle in its location. Then they drop, cut a big rectangle hole through the ice. They have to wait till it gets at least 9 or 10 inches thick, minimum, it says. And then they drop cables through it and lift the vehicle out about 2 weeks later.
It's probably totaled, I can imagine. I remember when I was a kid back in the 70s, we'd go up to visit my relatives up in Ohio, north of Dayton, and there was a local pond or small lake that would freeze over, and they would put an old junk car out in the middle of the lake, the town would, and then they would take a raffle, they'd sell raffle tickets, and you could fill out an estimate of what day you think the ice would break or melt enough where the car would fall through, and whoever won that would, you know, whoever picked the right date would split the money. So I'm sure they don't do that anymore, but that's something they used to do back then. An interesting way to raise some money.
I see them doing it nowadays is basically, you know, stripping the car down to just the frame itself. Get all the oils and stuff out of the way, so all you have is metal, because, you know, they sink cars and trucks and buses nowadays in quarries for scuba divers.
I'm sure they would haul it back out too, but from what I remember, it was just an old car. I mean, it didn't look stripped down at all. It just looked like a car that, you know, could have been still on the road. But I know, yeah, they won't do that anymore, environmental issues and things like that, but they probably won't even do just a frame anymore.
Because they don't want nobody to damage the water supply and so forth like that with EPA and everything else that's going on. So, but yeah, I miss those early years. I remember going out on Lake Champlain with my parents back in 68, 69 time frame. We'd go out there and cut a big hole in there and put up a little tent that had a hole in the bottom because Dad didn't want to haul a wooden shack on skids. So we just had a tent that he had basically cut the hole out in the middle of the tent, and you'd set it up on the ice and tack it down. You could sit in there and fish out of the wind and so forth like that. And then, of course, so before we'd go fishing, if there wasn't a lot of snow on the ground, Dad used to take us out. And we used to walk across the golf course and pick up, I'm talking about back then, I'm going to use the word humongous night crawlers. I mean, they were big, long, meaty night crawlers. And we'd go pick them up, and Dad would build a worm bed box. And we'd keep worms in the garage, built up like upon a horsesaw. And you never ran out of worms.
All right, Patrick, well, Ashley just brought my breakfast here, so I'm going to partake in it real quick. I hope you have a safe drive today, and tell Gabby and the family we said hello there, and I haven't met them yet, but wish them all the best, wish you all the best, and I think you said your wife's going with you too, KA3JCA.
She had to go to work today, so just me. But yeah, I'll tell him, and hopefully Connor's working on getting his radio installed in his truck. He's got a 2-meter mobile, and hopefully we'll get him on the air and you'll be able to meet him. I hope you all have a good day, and we will talk to you later. Richard, good to hear you this morning. KA3JCA, N4ZLK Mobile, 73.
I'm 3 Shane. Sally said goodbye and have a good day too. KA3JCA, Chris.
Sorry about that. Have a good day at work. We'll talk to you later. N4ZLK.